I saw that. It don't have nothing to do with the message, but I saw that joke today, and I thought, man, that is a funny joke. So anyway, just to get you to think a little bit, all right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 12. When Debbie and myself, we went to Montana, there was one thing that everybody we talked to told us. They harped on it. They just continuously told us. They said that when you get down to about half a tank of gas, you need to start looking for a service station. Don't keep going when you get down to half a tank. Look for a service station. Well, lo and behold, that was a great piece of advice, because we went to this little old town. And by the way, how in the world that my GPS took me in the direction and the roads that we went on, I'll never know how they came about to figure that out, that was the quickest and shortest route. So we stopped at this little old store one time and didn't really need any gas, but I thought to myself, you know what, hey, half a tank of gas, better go ahead and fill up. So we did. I walked into the little old store there, and I said, is there a McDonald's or anything like that anywhere around here? And she just kind of looked up from what she was doing and smiled and said, there ain't nothing like that around here for 100 miles. I said, okay. Thank you for your help. So I went out and told Debbie. We was laughing about it, and we took off, and we thought, ain't no way that could be true. it was true, only she underestimated. Because it was probably, who knows how many miles that we went. And we looked, and we were getting worried. We were getting nervous. And we went all over the place, and there was nothing to be found. There was not a gas station. There wasn't a restaurant of any kind. There was barely a house from here to there. And we just kept driving, and we kept driving. And you know what? Lo and behold, eventually, before we ran out of gas, we came up to a little town there, and we were able to buy gas, and there was a McDonald's there. But I'm going to tell you, we was plenty nervous. You know, as you're going places, if you go places that you've never been before, you know, there's all kinds of ways to go. There's all kinds of roads to take. You never know where you're going to wind up. Really, you don't really know how it's going to turn out. You know, it's like detours. You're going down the road and you run into a detour, and it routes you around the normal route that you're taking. The route that you're comfortable with, the route that you feel safe with. Hey, I've took this route for a reason, and now I'm going to have to get off of my path, get off of my route that I want to go on, and I'm going to have to go a different way. You know, detours. Nobody likes to be on them. And I'll tell you what, you know, it's like it was back in the Old West. You know, if you ever watch Wagon Train, you know, on Wagon Train, they could bring everything they needed, but they never could bring enough water. Just about every time, the wagon train, as you're watching Wagon Train, sooner or later, somewhere down the road, they have to send out scouts to hunt for water. They've run out of water. Well, you know, same thing, we don't run out of water today. We, you know, we run out of gas as we're driving along down the road. So, you know what? We got to be careful. We got to be mindful of those things. But, you know, sometimes on the road of life, God takes us off of the road that we're familiar with, and He puts us on a detour. He takes us on a road that we're just unfamiliar with. And you know what? Sometimes we get a little bit nervous about that. Sometimes we can even get scared about it, because we're going down a road that we really are not familiar with. We don't understand. The nature of a detour is that it brings us to an unexpected end. Unexpected end. You know, where we thought we were going, the way we wanted to go, it just is not turning out that way. We're going to have to go a different way. A wandering from a direct route, a different path, unexpected turns and obstacles. What do you do when your life takes you down a path for which you did not plan? You ever been down that way? You ever been on one of those roads? And you just had to take a turn, had to take a different way that you just did not plan on, you just didn't expect. You know, in the Bible, all kinds, there are just many Old Testament heroes of the faith that was on detours. I think one of the biggest detours of anybody in the Old Testament was David. You know, David, when he was just a young man, the Bible says that he told Samuel, he said, "Samuel, I want you to go get the horn of oil. I want you to go down to Jesse's house, and I want you to go down there, and I want you to anoint the new king." And here was a young man. I mean, he was just a young man. Nobody paid him any attention whatsoever. They left him in the field. He's still watching the sheep. And nobody even thought that David was going to be the next king of Israel. But yet, when all those other brothers went through there, God says, none of those. They're not the one. Go get that other one. Go get David. And they brought David up there. And when David came in, God told Samuel, "Rise, here he is. That's the one. That's the one I want you to anoint king." And so when David came in, they anointed him king over Israel. He is the next king. He's anointed. He's already there. And yet, how long did it take? Years before David ever got to the place to where he actually moved into the palace. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been anointed king, my first thought is I got to go home and start packing. I want to go home and get my new suit, or I'm probably going to have to go buy me a new suit because this old suit just not going to cut it when I go to the palace, you know. David, it could have been expecting, and who knows what was going on in this young man's mind, but he was ready to do what God wanted him to do. God says, "You're going to be the next king." And yet, years later, we find David, he's fleeing for his life. He's running. He's hiding out in caves. Saul is chasing him, and if he could have caught him, he would have killed him. And yet, David, in the back of his mind, he's got to remember, God, is this what it's going to be? Is this how it's going to turn out? God, you told me I was going to be the next king. And here I am, I'm running for my life. And David would find himself, at times, he's hiding in the caves and he's running for his life, like I said. What about Joseph? Pastor hadn't been too long ago, mentioned Joseph, talked about Joseph. And here was Joseph, just a young man. And you know, he had these dreams, and God revealed to him that, listen, he was going to rise to power, and his family was going to come in one day and even bow down before him. Boy, I tell you, Joseph had to have this in the back of his mind. God, is this how it's going to be? Here I am. You've told me I'm going to be the king. And by the way, you know, all these dreams he had, and they came to pass. You know, that had to even frustrate him even more, thinking, I've had these dreams, they came to pass, they got to be true, and here's this dream that God gave me, and yet it's just not coming to pass like I thought it was. And you know, they were on detours, and they were on hold. They had to wait. They had to be patient until God was ready for them to move up. You know, when you going through things like that, you think to yourself, the real question that we need to ask ourselves, are you going to keep serving when God tells you to wait? Are you going to keep worshiping Him? Are you going to keep giving? Are you going to keep obeying when the answer is, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. All right? So let's look at Philippians here, and we want to look at a man in the New Testament that God changed his direction. God put him, as it were, put him on a detour. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel." And here it was, you know, there were in this letter, Paul is making reference to the fact that there were people that were mocking him and making fun of him. They actually thought that because of him being in prison, him being where God had put him, that really what he wanted to do and what God had planned for him to do was going to be put on hold. And really, Paul was going to be stopped in his tracks. But you know what Paul said? Paul said that nothing further could be true. He said, listen, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. Now, I'm sure he had some questions about it. I'm sure he didn't understand all that was going on. But he says, listen, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, the gospel hadn't been stopped. It's going farther than it would have ever went had I been on the outside. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He said, look at the opportunities. Look at what's happening. Look at how God is using this. Because I'm in my bonds, because I am in prison, because I am chained to guards. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, listen, not only is it helping me, not only am I being able to further the gospel, but other people are watching me. Other people are seeing me, and they're seeing how God is using me. And it's making them more bold to go give out the gospel, preach the gospel wherever they're going. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerity, but supposing to add afflictions to my bond, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He said even these people that are trying to do it the wrong way, or people that are doing it in spite of me, or trying to hurt me, he said, listen, the gospel is still going out. Amen. Man, what a blessing. It's still being preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul says, you know what? Whether I live or whether I die, Christ is going to be magnified. Christ is going to be exalted. Christ is going to be lifted up. And you know what? What the Bible has told us, if Christ is lifted up, what did he say? All men, I'll draw all men to me. Boy, when he's lifted up, when he's magnified. And so Paul said, it doesn't matter what's happened to me. It doesn't matter that I'm in prison. It doesn't matter that I'm chained to a soldier. Christ is magnified in me. Boy, I tell you, what an attitude. Folks, can I just tell you, that right there is where we need to be. Amen. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be exalted in everything in our life. All right, Paul wanted to preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, you can't read anything about Paul without seeing him and knowing that he wants to preach the gospel. Listen, Paul, everywhere he went, every place he went, he was always trying to give out the gospel. He wanted the gospel to go to every creature. He wanted to start churches in every place that he went. That was his plan. That's what he wanted to do. By the way, God used him in a great way. God blessed him to do that. But you know what? God had a greater plan for Paul. But you know what he had to do? He had to put him on a detour. He had to get him off the road that he was familiar with, get him off that road that he was traveling down, and he put him on a detour. God says, I have a different plan for you, Paul. Different plan. Sometimes we might ask, why did this happen? Why do these things happen? Can you imagine Joseph being in prison knowing that God had told him he was going to be in a place of leadership? And there he is in prison. And by the way, not for just days, but for years he's there. Thinking to himself, how did this happen? How long can I go on? How long is this going to last? When is it going to end? You know what? We may never find out all the answers, but there's four things I want to give us tonight that we can take comfort in when we're on a detour in the desert, when we're on a detour. First thing I want you to see is that we're not alone. We're not alone. Now, this is a little bit of a topical kind of message, but I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Psalms chapter 23. Let's look over there if we could. And we'll turn to a few passages of Scripture here tonight. But in Psalms 23, in verse number 4, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible tells us here in this passage, one of the great passages that a lot of times we will use at a funeral service. But it's also good for just daily life. Psalms 23, verse 4, the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, even in the darkest time of our life, the valley of the shadow of death, even when we're going through the darkest time in our life, the Bible says, and He tells us here, that He is with us. You know, if God's with us, what difference does it make where we're going? You know, if God's with us, if He's going to be with us, and He is, that's what He says, that's what He's telling us here. If He's with us, what difference does it make where we go? When we're facing death, God says, "I'll be there with you." Not only will God be there with us as we face death, but God is there with us as we face life. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, the Bible says this. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And here it is, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, the Bible is telling us here, when we face death, God's with us. But when we're facing life, as we're going through life, as we're doing what God has told us to do, as we're doing His will for our life, He says, "Listen, I'll be with you no matter where you go." You know, the safest place in the world that you can be, no matter what it is doing God's will for your life. You know, I don't know about you, but there have been times that God has asked me to do things, and I thought to myself, you know, that's just not possible to be able to do that. Just not possible. I don't know how I could do it. I don't know how it could be done. And yet, God opens the door there, and God says, "I'll be with you." And when He's with us, folks, listen, we can do anything that God wants us to do. As long as this world lasts, God promises. He said, "I will be with you." Not only that, not only the fact that we're not alone, but number two is we can take comfort in His Word. Turn back to in the Old Testament, if you would. You know, it would be good if I'd put all these in order there so we wouldn't have to keep turning from Old to New Testament there, but sometimes that's not the way it goes. Isaiah chapter 41. When I was going through Bible college, one of my professors gave us this verse of Scripture, and he said, "Now I want you to remember this verse of Scripture. I want you to get familiar with it." He said, "There's seven things in here, one for each day of the week." And he said, "They'll be an encouragement to you. They will be a comfort to you. They'll help you. You ought to know this verse, and you ought to remember that there's a thing in here, there's a passage in here, a phrase that God wants you to remember." And by the way, there's seven of them there, so there's one for each day of the week. On Monday, he says, "Fear thou not." So Isaiah 41:10. On Tuesday, he says, "For I am with thee." Wednesday, he says, "Be not dismayed." On Thursday, he says, "For I am thy God." Friday, I will strengthen thee. On Saturday, I will help thee. And then on Sunday, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Listen, there's a comfort there. There's a statement that God says, "Listen, I'm with you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm with you." And listen, you know, there's all kinds of verses in the Bible that bring us comfort. Can you think of a verse when you get discouraged or you get down in the dumps that you turn to or it comes to your mind automatically? You know, there ought to be some verses like that. There ought to be some verses. Sometimes there's some songs. There's some songs that come to our mind. Sometimes there's songs that we sing or songs that we might play or listen to. But there ought to be something spiritual there when we get down in the dumps, when we get discouraged, that comes to our mind that brings us to the place or brings comfort to our heart that we know that God is with us. Folks, listen. You know, there's times that this world can be, there's fearful things. There's frightening things sometimes that happen in this world. But folks, listen. Why should we fear if God is with us? Why should we stop doing what God wants us to do if God is with us? Why should we be discouraged if God is with us? Now, I know, folks, listen, I know we're all human. I know it's easy to get up here and say that, but really, in reality, really, there shouldn't be anything that ought to stop the Christian if God is with us. If we believe that, and we ought to believe it, and if we know that, and we ought to know it, why should anything hinder us from doing what God wants us to do? You remember a while ago we were talking about David, and we talked about how he had to run from Saul, how he had to flee for his very life. There were times, especially this one time, where he was fleeing from Saul, and they went out to fight a battle, and while they were gone, the enemy came in, and they stole all their stuff. They stole all their stuff, and anything they couldn't take with them, they burned it with fire. They burned it up. They took the women, and they took their children, and they took them captive, and they left with those people. When David came back, he saw that. The men were so angry with him that David thought they were going to stone him. They thought they were going to kill him. And David got to maybe the lowest point of his life there. You know what the Bible says that he did? In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, he said, "I encouraged myself in the Lord." You know what David did? David got to the point to where, you know what? There was nobody else he could turn to. Everybody had forsaken him. Everybody had turned their back on him. Even his very men were willing to kill him. But yet David said, "I encouraged myself in the Lord." You know what he did? He went to God and found encouragement. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be times in our life. There's going to be times even doing what God wants us to do in the very center of God's will that God's going to put us on a detour, and we may be at the point where, you know what, there's nowhere else to turn. But you always remember that God is always with you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number three, I want you to see this. God cares that we suffer. Many examples that we could use or we could look at to let us know that God cares for us. Listen, God cares for us. He cares for us. He knows exactly what we're going through. He understands that, all right? But I think about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says this about them. Jesus was talking to them and he said, "Why are you talking like you are? Why are you saying these things and are sad?" Jesus said, "Why are you sad? What are you so discouraged about?" Well, we know what they were doing. And really, those disciples said, "What? Where have you been? Have you not heard? Do you not understand what's happened, what's taken place? Jesus Christ, the one that we had put all of our hope and faith in, the one, we just knew he was the one. And he is the Messiah. We followed him. We were ready to do whatever he wanted us to do. We were ready to go after him, go with him. And now he's dead. And he's been in the ground these many days, or these 3 days, or I forget how he said it, but I'm paraphrasing there. Don't give me, I'm not quoting that. But he's dead. He's in the ground. Where have you been? Hadn't you heard? Didn't you hear these things? And you know what the Bible says? That Jesus encouraged them. What did he do? He took them back. He took them all the way back to the Old Testament. And he started talking to them about himself. He started telling them about him. Now, they didn't realize it. They didn't know that was him. But they made this statement. Did not our hearts burn as he opened up the Word of God to us? Boy, he explained it. He talked to us about it. He told us about the Word of God. And he said it encouraged us. It comforted us. You know what? Two things that helped me on that when I look at that. First of all, Jesus went to where they were at. He went to where they were at. He went to them. They didn't come to him. He went to them and found them and encouraged them and talked to them And he tried to cheer them up, as it were. Well, I tell you what, that sure is a blessing to know that. Does the Lord do that now? Amen. Does he do it now? Sure he does. Amen. Sure he does. Amen. He doesn't have a physical body. He's not going to walk up beside us and stand beside us. But can I just tell you that we have his word here? And boy, I tell you what, we ought to be familiar with it, like we said a while ago. Boy, there ought to be passages of scripture and different things in here that come to our mind when we get discouraged, when we get down in the dumps. I tell you, the world can beat you up sometimes. I mean, you go through the week, and it just seems like one thing after another just keeps happening. I was talking to my son the other day. He called, and Caleb out, and he was saying that one of the boys, I can't remember which one, Asa had got a spray can, paint spray can. And you know what little boys do? They pick it up, and they want to do what the little boys like to do. He mashed that button. The only thing about it is it sprayed and hit him right in the eye. And had to take him to the emergency room and, you know, get all that cleaned out and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, well, just like his daddy, you know. he probably saw his daddy do that sometime, and he thought, I'm going to do what he did. But he took a picture of him there, and his eye was just black stuff all over his face and everything. But anyway, I don't know what I was going to say about that, but anyway. But he, you know, I don't even know. Completely lost the thought there. But anyway, he wanted to, Jesus wanted to encourage them. Now, second thing I want you to see here, God cares that we suffer. You know, I remember there was at least two different times there were great storms on the Bible. But one time in particular, there was a great storm on the water. And the disciples were in the boat and they were by themselves. Jesus was on the shore. What was Jesus doing? He was praying for them. He was praying for them. And they were out there by themselves. And the Bible tells us that they were afraid. I mean, these men were sailors that had sailed these seas so many times. That's what they did for a living. And if anybody shouldn't have been afraid, it should have been these men. But yet, the Bible says that these guys, they were afraid, and Jesus came to where they were at. He came to them, out on the water. And the Bible says that really, that he came walking to them on the water. And when they saw him, the first thing they thought was, you know, this is a ghost and we're afraid. But later on they realized this was the Lord. And when the Lord stepped on the boat, you know what? Everything just stopped. It just all the water laid down, the wind stopped, and I mean, buddy, it was just as calm as it could be. Jesus on the boat made all the difference in the world. You know, during this great storm, He calmed their fears. And I want you to look at one last thing here, and that is God will give us grace. God will give us the grace to be able to bear under all that He lays on us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sorry, not 12:9. 12:9 is what I said. Look up in verse number 7. Paul is saying here, and he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For the thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul's response was, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, in this passage, he says, "I want the power of Christ to rest upon me." And the other passage that we looked at, he said, you know, "I want Christ to be magnified." You know, I tell you, Paul, when we get to heaven and we talk to Paul, it's going to be interesting to see what he had to say about these two passages. I tell you, it's just amazing that a man could be so controlled by the Spirit of God that he would have those kind of responses in the most difficult times of his life. He's in prison on one of these things, in one of these times, he's in prison. And he knows that he's soon going to die. He's not going to live very long. And he says, you know, whether I die, whether I live, I want Christ to be exalted. I want him to be magnified. Amen. Makes no difference about what happens to me, what happens to my body. And then in this passage right here, we don't know what it was, but there was a thorn. There was an infirmity that God had given to him to keep him humble, so he wouldn't be exalted. Paul says, listen, if I hadn't had this thorn in the flesh, I could have been exalted with pride. You know, God doesn't like pride. Amen. He doesn't like it. You know, when we take the glory for what is going on, when we take the credit for what's happened, when God should be given the credit, he should be given the glory for that. He should be lifted up. He should be exalted for that. Paul said, listen, it was a good thing. It was a good thing for me to get this thorn, because had it not been for this thorn, I may have took credit for what was going on in my life. But you know what he said? He said, God will give grace. God's going to give us grace to handle this. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that is a great statement, but I'll guarantee you it's harder to live this, or let's see, it's easier to make this statement than it is to live it. That's what I was trying to say. It's easy to say that. It's easy to read that. But boy, it's just something different altogether when we have to live it. When we're on that detour, when we're on that road that we're not used to, when we're on that place, we're in that place that where we're not comfortable at, listen, it's a whole lot harder to live that way than it is to say it. But folks, let me just tell you, if Paul could say this, guess what? We could too. If Paul could live like this, we can too. And if we don't, and if we can't, then it's nobody's fault but our own, right? Listen, God has some wonderful things for us. He really does. He has some wonderful things for us. There's so much that he wants us to do. There's so much he wants to do through us. I really believe that. Do y'all think that God just leaves us here because we're so valuable that, you know, the world just can't do without us? Now, I know y'all would look at me and think, you know, y'all, I can see y'all. Let's just see if y'all still awake. But do you believe that God wants to do something in your life? Does he want to do something through your life? You better believe he does. Listen, God wants to use you. He wants to use me. And he will do it if we'll let him. Amen. If we'll have the right attitude, if we'll let God take us on a detour, if we'll let God get us out of our comfort zone, he can use us. He can do something through us. Amen. Well, we just have to be ready. We just have to be available. And listen, remember, listen, God loves you no matter what's going on in your life. Here, God loves you. He always loves us. Now, I'm telling you, I have a hard time understanding that. And the reason for that is because we're human. We're human. We're conditioned. If Randy's mean to me, hey, I'm going to be mean to him. I would say that about my wife, but that, She wouldn't like that. But if somebody is mean to us, we have a hard time being nice back to them. How many of you get a call, telemarketer call, and they will not hang up? You know what I'm admitting this to y'all, okay? But you can't hold it against me. I used to sit on there, and I used to try to be nice, and I used to say, you know what, listen, guys, I know you got a job, I know you're trying to make a living, and, you know, but I'm just not interested. Well, I just don't want to be mean, don't want to be rude. You know what I just started doing? As soon as, is this Scott? Yep. It's hard to be nice to people when, you know, when they're mean to you, right? But you know what? God loves us no matter what. Amen. He sure does. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All right? Let God use you tonight. Would you do that? Let God use you this week. Let God do something great in your life. If you'll do that, I guarantee you, he'll use you. He sure will. Let God do something in your life. All right? Let's bow our heads.